Hi, welcome back to this next episode of Showing Up. I'm Yaling, and I run Foreign Policy Design. Showing Up is about uncovering what it takes to get to where you want to go, and learning across the different fields of design, business, tech, and the arts. We will share stories and journeys of founders and entrepreneurs. Hopefully, we can help instill learnings, spark inspiration, and celebrate the human endeavor and spirit. This episode, we have with us Athena Lee. She's the founder of ZumVet, a platform that provides pet healthcare by using technology. Hey, Athena. Thanks for showing up today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming to Showing Up. Showing Up is about uncovering what it takes to get to where you want to go by learning across the different fields of design, business, arts, and technology. This season, we are doing Punching Above Your Weight.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
All right. I'm Athena. I'm the co-founder of ZumVet. ZumVet is an online veterinary platform. And a big part of the reason why I founded ZumVet is because I'm also a proud parent of three cats.
Meow.
Meow, yes. I hear that every morning, yeah.
Awesome. So we've got five quotes that we've designed for this season, and we just want to throw it to, you know, the guests to share their perspective. First one, we all believe that we are a certain kind of person, but we never know until we do something that proves otherwise. Until we die.
Starting with the easy ones, aren't we? Yeah. So I think it's an interesting quote, right? It's definitely something that gets you thinking. And for me, when I hear that particular quote, I think a lot of self-awareness, right? I think for self-awareness, some people are born with it. It's innate in them. For a lot of people like me, it took me a really long time to get to a point where I can say that I have a little bit of that, right? But I think ultimately there are a lot of other external factors that come into play. So environment, culture, I think nurture, well, are all things that definitely influence, you know, how one would think, you know, and how one would act. So curious to hear, like, what are your thoughts around that as well?
Well, I think it comes down to self-belief, right? And what we believe, in my mind, we become what we believe we are. So I'm also very curious in terms of what are your some of your self-belief. Like, for example, you might have certain interpretation of who you are, what you're like, but then you go through this situation and realize, oh, I didn't know that about myself.
Yeah. It's a good question, right? Because I find that in terms of self-belief and in just terms of knowing who I am, I'm very different professionally and personally. So I'd say that professionally, I've always had this drive to succeed, right? And I've always had this drive to prove myself. I don't know if it's because I'm an only child or because I grew up in an Asian household. And not only did I grow up in an Asian household, but I grew up in New York, right? So where I felt very different. I always felt like an outsider. So there was always this want to prove who I am and that I can do better. So I think professionally, I'm very driven by this innate want and to not fail. Right, for better or worse. I don't think it's necessarily a good thing. And so a lot of the decisions I make now is what drove me to become a founder of a company. And even when things always seem to be on the verge of collapse, I still get up every day wanting to make it work. And so as a professional, I'd say that what surprises me a lot and what I would say is a core of my self-belief is that resilience is actually a lot more prominent than I would have thought as a younger version of myself. I never would have described myself as someone who's very resilient, but it's something that's come through. And that's I would say part of my core belief, right, is that no matter what, there is a way that things can work out. And it's really just about staying optimistic to a certain degree and finding what that is.
Has there been a situation whereby everything seems to be going wrong? Like everything is going wrong?
Every day.
Every day?
Yeah.
And how do you find that inner strength? Like, do you just like put it behind you, or do you go through this sort of like self rejuvenation, recharging exercise?
Or do you like, have like a place that you lock yourself in for like 20 minutes and come out like,
or you go for a morning run? Like,
yeah.
How do you find that inner strength and that?
To a certain degree, as a founder, you live with a comfort knowing that there's always going to be a little bit of chaos. And being able to navigate that is the difference of succeeding, failing as a founder. Again, it has to do with experience and age, right? So when I was younger, I did not deal with it well at all. So I really loved going out when I was younger, right? So I did a lot of drinking. I was just out all the time, going slightly crazy. But I don't do that anymore. It's very tiring. But I also found more healthy outlets. So I realized that when I exercise, so I like to run, I like to be outdoors. When I actually just invest a little bit of time every day in that, maybe 15, 20 minutes even, makes a huge difference. And I come back with just a little bit of zen, right? And less, feeling less chaotic. And I think that's really quite important. And just making sure that you're building boundaries, I think that's also very important. So as a founder, inevitably, work is going to bleed into life. And so there's always going to be moments where I'm at dinner, I'm like, sorry, guys, I'm just going to be on my phone the entire time. But that said, I do try to have boundaries. So every day by, say, 11 p.m., no more phone. I'm not going to be on my phone. I have to be in bed by this time. And every morning when I wake up, I need to make sure that there is 30 to an hour, an hour worth of time where I'm investing in myself. And I think just by having these routines, it really does help. Yeah, it's not overly sophisticated, right? But at the very least, it sets me up for what I need to do that day. And it just makes me more centered. When I stray away from that schedule, then I just feel like everything is off slightly for the entire day. And actually, interestingly enough, right, this brings up quarantine. So I was actually in Hong Kong recently where I had to do a 21-day quarantine. And I think this is where the routine really plays in, right? So when I landed, I had a friend message me. She's like, let me give you two pieces of advice. So the first is light regulation. At first I was like, I don't really know what you're saying, but okay, I'll bear that in mind, right? And the second is just remember that you have time. So don't go and just immediately unpack. Do it slowly and just take your time. And so I actually like took that to heart. So this got me through. And I remember getting to the 20th day and thinking, oh, that actually went by fairly quickly. And I got a lot of things done just because light was regulated. I was sleeping at normal hours. I had my routine. I looked forward to it. And I was actually weirdly a lot more productive than I would have been at home. Yeah. So the power of structure, guys. Yeah.
Okay. Quote number two. Promise yourself that no matter how hard it gets, you won't give up.
Yeah, I never tell myself that. I suppose it's something that is just a part of survival, right? So you either have the will to continue or you just don't and you give up, right? But I'd say that for the most part, I do feel this strong urge to figure things out. And I guess for me, it really delves more into my personal sphere, right? And a big part of why I can do a lot of things, whether it's professional, whether it's personal, is that I've always had a very strong support network. So whether it's my family, whether it's just having a group of friends around me, or even bringing in the right people for my team who understand the vision of what we're trying to do, has made it a lot easier for me to be able to not give up. I think it's almost a luxury, right? It's not something that everyone can do very easily. So yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's been a no-brainer in a sense. I've never had to think about that. And I consider myself very lucky to not have to. Yeah. Is that something you guys have had to struggle with at all?
Sometimes like what Bruce Lee says, right? Be like the water. And then when the opportunity comes, you like go up to the surface and you surf.
Yes.
That's kind of what
drives. Yeah.
Make sure you have a lovely glass of wine.
Yes, that always helps. Yeah.
What about like, do you run into any issue? It doesn't sound like it, but do you run into any issue of procrastination? Like,
Yes, actually, very much. There's so many things I don't want to do. But I've realized that there's a methodology to the madness, right? I wouldn't say it applies to everyone, but for me it works. So I have realized that I have no attention span, right? So my attention span is 30 minutes for something that requires my full attention. And then even in a social setting, my attention span is like 3 hours. Like literally at the 3 hour mark, I just start like, my mind is elsewhere already, right? So how I conquer this is one, just understanding my limits. And I think that applies in many areas of life, right? But at the very least for this procrastination, I have a to-do list. So this is something I'm very religious about. So I have this very sophisticated like table on Notion. So every day I have like maybe 3 things max. And I just force myself to put on my calendar that I just need to sit down for 15 minutes to finish this, even if it's something I don't want to do. And what you start realizing is that once you get into the flow of it, it just spills out. So I think a lot of it is just, I've gotten to a point in my life where I understand what my limitations are. So you just need to force yourself to do it and just understand the consequences of not doing it. And I think as a business leader, there's no excuse, right? So if you expect your team to perform at their best as well, then you just can't procrastinate. You have to understand what are the things that can wait and what can't. And you know, typically for things that can wait, is there someone who can help you and being able to ask for that help as well.
I think knowing that is important because you know you can plan it around that, right? As opposed to, okay, let's strive. But you know, it's kind of outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah. So it's quite interesting. So I was reading somewhere, and I think a lot of people have been talking about this, is that Elon Musk has this 5-minute system, right? So it's a bit extreme. I probably am not at the level of Elon Musk yet, but for me, I plan around 30-minute blocks. So even if I don't have a meeting and I don't want to reveal this to like investors or like business partners, right? But actually like we'll put out a 30-minute just timeout for myself after long meetings. So a lot of times when I'm like, actually I have to jump onto another call now, I'm just taking a mental break. Yeah, I think that's quite important actually. Yeah.
I mean, I think I was just sharing with one of the other session that now I've changed the 30-minute slot to once a week slot. So because of the whole work from home situation, the team doesn't come in.
Yeah.
So we will come in once a week. And then that's our day where we will like brainstorm and chat. And so that's like the only day where everyone's like physically together. And we work best when we brainstorm and bounce ideas in the studio. So that's like the best day. Just yesterday, we were just like having this whole brainstorm session after lunch. And that was so productive. And I thought that was quite useful. I mean, just responding to your 30-minute block.
Yeah, I think it's always good to have that physical interaction.
Yeah. I mean, especially when for people, I mean, for us doing like creative stuff, it's just difficult sometimes to be in silo.
Yeah,
I mean, you need to be in silo to do stuff, but then you cannot be in silo to like bounce off ideas. So I think that's really important.
Yeah. Having that organic sort of conversation does help a lot.
Structure yet organic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You want everything.
Yeah. Are you ready for quote number 3?
I'm a bit scared, but yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Quote number 3. Don't be afraid of being a beginner.
It evolves over time, right? So when you're younger, so when I was first starting my career, I was actually in the corporate world. I worked in finance. And what I always wanted was just to prove that I was an expert in something, right? So whatever I was doing. But then now, again, I think age plays a lot into it. So age partially, but also being a business owner, right? You realize that, no, actually, you don't know everything. And especially when you're dealing with maybe about 80 things a day, you do sort of realize that you are a beginner, and there's no issue with it, right? So this is why you have to ask people for help. And I think that if you don't have that mentality, you don't evolve. There is an issue, right? Inherent in Asian society is that you want to show how competent you are, and you're sort of bred and nurtured to succeed and to show others you're doing very well. So I think it's actually quite difficult to get out of that. And again, for me, it's taken me a very, very long time. So for a very long time, I've always just wanted to show this front of success, even with my colleagues or my team, right? A lot of them are much younger. Millennials, I must say, are much more well-adjusted than me growing up. But that said, I do see the difficulty for them to admit, hey, I need your help, or there are certain things I can't do, right? And so maybe not labeling them as beginners, but just saying, you know, that there's always room for improvement, and it gives you the opportunity to grow. And I think ultimately that's really what that quote means to me, is letting yourself learn and grow and not stopping even if you're getting older.
So how about quote number 4? The body achieves what the mind believes.
Yeah, that is a solid no. My mind believes I can do many things. For a very long time, even to this day, I like to be in control of my daily habits of everything I'm doing, right? And so mind over matter is something that is very important to me. So I do a lot of mini experiments and life hacks, right? So I've been a vegetarian, I've been a pescatarian. I fully subscribe to the research out there that says that you can develop a habit in 30 days, right? So I've done so many. Like, there is this one point where I'm like, I'm gonna eat congee every day for 60 days and see where that gets me. And that actually did form a habit, right? So I did do these silly little things. But that said, right, I have this aspiration of being this like super outdoorsy, very active person. It's very difficult. I've tried this. So during COVID, there were a few types of people, right? There were the ones that got super fit, and then there were the ones that gained a lot of weight. I was definitely the latter part of it. And then once I got out of it, I realized, because I was starting to wear clothes again, and I'm like, okay, nothing fits. And just out of the sheer fact that I don't want to have to rebuy my clothes, I'm like, okay, let's do this, right? I'm inspired, I'm gonna go work out. It's so hard, right? So my mind is telling me I can do this. I'm like super rev for it. I had this very intense schedule with Notion that I created, where I was gonna work out like 4 times a week, alternate between strength training, cardio, everything, like even research all of the different things I was gonna do. Then by day 2, I was like, okay, I'm getting a little bit tired. Then by day 3, I was like, oh, I can't do this. So day 4, I scheduled a rest day. And then by day 5, I was like, forget it. I can't do this. I'm just too tired. So to answer your question, I personally haven't really benefited from that, but have you guys, do you think?
For me, I have something quite similar. So I have a series of habits I'm building. In some instances, it's quite reasonably successful. And I think James Clear said it well. It's almost like building a condition. That means potentially setting up the environment that encourages a particular behavior. Right? So for example, if we decide that we shouldn't be watching TV too much, then you want to move the TV out of the way. So 2 weeks ago, I deleted Netflix off from my phone.
Oh, so from your phone, okay.
It no longer exists.
Okay.
It will exist soon.
And another bit that I thought was quite helpful is being gentler on yourself. Like for me, on myself, because habit takes time to form. So it takes time, you just need to be patient, and eventually it will happen. So that those two kind of work quite well for me.
I will try that. I will take it home and be gentler on myself.
Yeah, I think the deleting of the apps came from another friend, Renyong. And I think she deleted almost every app.
Oh, wow.
Or she will hide what she thinks are the least important interruptive app to her third page or her fourth page of her phone. So she wouldn't really, she would not answer your text immediately.
There's no trigger, right?
There's no trigger. Yeah, yeah. And she doesn't want that.
It's actually a good habit, right? So I have this compulsion. So whenever, and it's a very bad habit. I have notifications for every one of my work apps. And they're constantly buzzing. And I just get very jittery if I don't answer. But then I've had to set physical boundaries. So I'm like, okay, my phone will go onto DND mode by 9 p.m. So I just don't hear it anymore. And then I realized that, okay, you let it wait a night. It actually doesn't make a huge difference, right? No, there's no life or death situation. At least I hope not, right? So, yeah.
The last one. I'm not telling you that it's going to be easy. I'm telling you that it's going to be worth it.
It sounded very encouraging. I feel like I've had to hear that all day. Send me that later, yeah. So, I think it's one of those things where you can say in retrospect, right? So definitely, as you're saying that to me, yes, it sounds very encouraging, but I never really prescribe to that on a day-to-day basis because you just never really know how easy it actually is. But yes, right. So if you look, if I reflect on my life, right, in this 30-minute segment, there were a lot of things that were very challenging to me, right? So it could be personal life, really bad breakup. It could be with friends or family. You just had a very bad fight. Or it can even be with work, right? You thought things were just about to veer to disaster, right? I could have gotten fired over something I did. And then you reflect on it, and it's actually just a very small part of everything that's going on in your life. And a lot of times, I don't know if worth it is the right description for it, right? But one thing leads to another. Right. So I'm from Hong Kong previously. Half of what I've experienced in the time that led me to Singapore has been great, very memorable. And then the other half was very difficult, right? So it's sort of the mundane, difficult things of being here by myself, having to fill out lots of forms, apply for renewals of things. And I'm like, why? But I think generally, you can't really sort of think that optimistically. I think it's very difficult to live that quote. It's really more something that you look back onto in retrospect. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing and thanks for showing up. There's a lot of gems that you shared that's going to be very helpful for the listeners.
No, I think it's been really interesting, right? I've never, or not never, but I haven't in a very long time had to really reflect philosophically like this. And I think it's part of that journey to growing, right? Just thinking hard about what your self-beliefs are and what type of self-awareness that you have, right? How well do you know yourself? And I think that just taking a moment to really think about who you are as a person fundamentally, and seeing ways that you can improve potentially, or what are things that you're doing that make you happy is actually quite important. It forces you to slow down a little bit and just really think outside of the day-to-day hustle and bustle, but it's worth it. And I've really enjoyed this time having to think outside the box.
I love how you summarized it. That was very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your evening with me.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Foreign Policy Design.